Mr. Mayne, would you like to speak briefly?
Thanks, Chairman. Good morning, everyone. I've come over from Australia for this meeting today to support a resolution proposing that we get rid of the dual class structure of our capital base. I also would like Rupert to speak on the other resolutions, but I'll just give you a quick 2 minutes on this resolution. Arthur, could you advise the proxies on this resolution first, please?
Could you get the microphone up a bit so we can all hear you? That's better.
Could you advise the proxies on this resolution first, please?
Could I?
Advise the proxies. What's the current proxy position? You've got the proxy results up there. Can you
yes.
inform the meeting what they are?
At the appropriate time, we'll announce the results, yes.
So you can't do it now? Before I speak, I think that this resolution's probably been quite well supported, and I'd just like the meeting to know what the figures are so we can talk to that.
Yes, it was supported by 22.9%, which is 184 million shares, and opposed by 620,900,000.
And did Mr. Malone oppose it or support it, do you know?
If he voted, he certainly would have voted against it, because he has more shares than 184 million.
Right, okay. Well, I guess my point is that if you take out Rupert's shares and Mr. Malone's shares, I think you'll find that that's getting close to 50% of the neutral or independent shares supporting the resolution.
Opposing the resolution, yes.
Sorry, supporting the resolution. I think if you take your shares out...
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that I think there's a lot of merit in moving to a one-class stock company, because all of us B-class shareholders aren't currently in the S&P 500. So when Rupert first proposed the move from America, the big selling point for us Australians was that we'd all get our stock in the S&P 500. But under the S&P's rules, only the most populous stock is allowed in the index. So that's the non-voting shares. So all of us shareholders are sitting here with voting shares that aren't represented in the S&P 500 index. So the simple argument would be that if we went to a one-class stock company, we would have a billion shares added to the index, and we'd get a re-rating. So, and I guess the argument goes is that now that Malone is off the register, we don't really need, well, Rupert doesn't need to be so paranoid about someone taking the company over. I mean, Rupert is an absolute legend. He's the longest serving CEO in the world. He's done 55 years straight. He's an amazing guy. No one's going to sack him. And the paranoia of having a two-class company is that Rupert's basically saying, I don't trust my shareholders. I think they might vote me out. And we all suffer a lower share price for that. I mean, if we had one vote, one share, rather than a gerrymander which sees 70% of the shares on issue not have the vote, then sure, Rupert would come down to 15% from the 40% that he'll have post the Malone deal, but that would actually cause a re-rating of the stock price. So I'm actually proposing something that would make Rupert probably $1 billion. I mean, the shares would probably go from 26 Australian to 30 Australian, because we'd instantly get a takeover premium price into the stock. We get the index re-weighting of having the B-class shares in the index. And Rupert could actually stand there and say, I stand here on my record. I don't need to hide behind a gerrymander where only 30% of the stock on issue has the vote. So I'm simply saying to you, Rupert, stand on your record. Trust yourself. You're not going to get the sack. No one's going to take you over. The company's worth $60 billion. Malone is neutralised. You've bought the Wall Street Journal. We now tell everyone else how to behave with the Wall Street Journal, but we're running a capital structure which is frankly embarrassing, which is a gerrymander. And look at what's happened to the New York Times over the last 2 years. They've suffered a fairly substantial campaign against them on this very point, saying don't have a dual class structure. So if we are trying to take on the New York Times with the Wall Street Journal, let's make the first move and let's go to the corporate governance high ground and actually go one vote, one value. I mean, Frank Lowy, who's the third richest bloke in Australia, did that 3 years ago. The guy behind Westfield, the world's biggest shopping centre company. Okay, he went down from 30% to 10%. No one's taken him over. No one's sacked him. He's still there. Shares have been re-rated. So I simply say, Rupert, trust yourself. Back your record. You're a legend. You've had a great career. No one's going to sack you. So why not? You're supporting Evelyn's resolution, which is terrific. which is basically Malone's gone, therefore we'll put ourselves up for election every year. So why don't you go one vote, one value, and actually make yourself another $1 billion? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, based upon the proxies already received, I'm happy to inform the meeting that a majority of the votes cast have already been voted in favour of the re-election of each of the directors nominated. In favour of the ratification of the appointment of Ernst & Young LLP, against the stockholder proposal regarding the annual election of directors, and against the stockholder proposal regarding the elimination of the company's dual class capital structure. Thank you all very much for your support and your interest.